All right, let's dive into the mom test.
Okay.
This book is all about how to talk to customers, to build products that people will actually want.
Right.
And that sounds simple enough, right?
It does, but
it's harder than you think.
It really is.
Yeah.
It's way trickier. And that's where this whole idea, this whole concept of the mom test comes in.
Uh-huh.
Have you ever, pitched an idea to your mom?
Oh, yeah.
And you know she's just going to love it no matter what.
Of course.
And that's exactly the problem that we're talking about.
It is. It's like trying to get feedback from your biggest fan.
Right.
They're always going to be supportive.
You're going to love it.
But they're not going to give you the honest, critical feedback that you need.
Yeah, they're not going to give you the hard truth.
Exactly.
Which is what we need.
The mom test, it's by Rob Fitzpatrick.
Yeah.
He's a tech entrepreneur.
Okay.
And he's been through this himself.
And so the book gives you a framework for having those tougher conversations.
Okay.
The conversations where you get the real feedback.
Because nobody, let's face it, wants to spend years building something.
Oh, no.
Only to find out that nobody needs it.
Exactly. You're wasting your time.
You're wasting your time. You're wasting your money.
You're wasting your effort, your energy.
Everything.
All of it.
Yeah. So how does this whole mom test thing, how does it actually work?
Okay. So it's about asking questions that reveal what customers really need.
Okay.
But without, and this is the important part, without leading them to the answers that you want to hear.
Oh, okay.
So there are three main rules.
All right.
The first is talk about their life, not your idea.
Okay. So that sounds a little counterintuitive.
It does.
How can we learn about our idea if we don't actually talk about it?
You have to think about it a little differently.
Yeah.
If you launch into your idea right away,
mm-hmm.
people are more likely to focus on pleasing you than on sharing their genuine experiences.
Right. They want to make you happy.
Exactly. So by asking about their lives, their challenges, their frustrations,
okay.
you tap into a gold mine of insights that can inform your product.
So instead of saying, wouldn't it be awesome if there was an app that did X?
Yes. That's a classic mom test violation.
Okay. What would we ask instead?
You could ask something like, tell me about the last time you struggled with X.
Okay.
What did you do? How did you feel? What would have made that experience better?
Oh, so you're getting them to recount real situations.
Exactly.
Not just hypothetical.
Yeah, you don't want what if.
Right.
You want real stories.
Okay.
And that actually brings us to the second rule.
Okay. What's rule number two?
Ask about specifics in the past, not generics or future opinions.
Okay.
Because, and I think we all know this, people are notoriously bad at predicting what they'll do in the future.
Yeah, we are. We're terrible at it.
Right. They might say they'd buy your product, but their actual behavior.
Completely different.
Totally different.
Yeah.
The past, however, is concrete.
Oh.
So by digging into their past experiences, you uncover patterns and insights that you can actually rely on.
Okay.
You're getting to the good stuff.
Got it. So focus on the past. Keep it specific.
You got it.
Okay. What is the third rule?
Okay. So the third and perhaps most crucial rule, talk less and listen more.
Ooh, that's a hard one.
It is. It is. It's so tempting to jump in.
It is.
And explain your idea.
Yes.
But you've got to resist that urge.
Okay.
The more you talk,
mm-hmm.
the less you learn.
Oh, okay. That's a good point.
So let them do the talking.
Okay.
And you'll be amazed by what they reveal.
So it's almost like playing detective.
It is.
You're trying to uncover clues about their needs and motivations without giving away too much about your own agenda.
Exactly.
Yeah, here's the thing.
And to show you how this works in practice, Fitzpatrick uses this great example in the book about digital cookbooks, for the iPad.
Wow.
You know, imagine asking your mom, wouldn't you love a cookbook on your iPad?
Yeah.
Classic mom test fail.
Why?
Yeah.
Because she's just going to say yes, even if she never uses it.
Exactly. You'll get a compliment.
Right.
But no real insight.
Okay.
So instead, imagine asking, what's the last cookbook you bought?
Mm-hmm.
Why did you choose that one? How do you typically find recipes?
Ooh, that's good.
Now you're getting somewhere.
You're learning about her actual behavior.
Yes.
Her needs, her habits.
Exactly.
And that's the information that you can use to build a product she might actually use.
You got it. Now let's move on to the different types of questions that you can ask.
Okay.
To really get to the heart of what your customer needs.
Awesome. I'm ready to put on my detective hat and start crack the code.
All right, let's do it.
Of these customer conversations.
Let's get into it. Okay, so let's talk about some of those questions you might be tempted to ask, like, do you think this is a good idea?
Oh, yeah.
Classic mom test violation.
Yeah, why? Because it's asking for their opinion and not about their experiences.
Exactly. Opinions, well, they can change. And people like to be nice, especially to someone who's all excited about an idea, right?
Yeah, for sure.
Instead of asking, do you think this is a good idea? How do you currently handle this problem?
Okay.
Or what's the biggest frustration you have with this process?
Oh, I like those. Those make them think about, like, their real challenges.
Right. You want them digging deep. Another bad question, and we see this one a lot. Would you buy a product that did X?
Yeah, I can see why that's bad. It's, like, so hypothetical.
It is. It's future-focused and ultimately just unreliable.
Okay, so how do we avoid these traps and ask better questions?
Why the most powerful techniques, it's something Fitzpatrick calls anchoring the fluff.
Anchoring the fluff, okay.
Yeah, so even when people, like, try to be helpful, their feedback can be full of generalities, you know? Like, all those hypothetical maybes.
Oh, like when they say, I would definitely use that, but you can just tell they're trying to be nice.
Exactly. That's fluff.
Okay.
It feels good, but it's not based in reality.
Right.
So to anchor it, you gotta, like, gently bring them back to their actual experiences.
Okay.
So instead of just, you know, nodding along and saying, great, you could say something like, that's great to hear. Can you tell me about the last time you encountered this problem?
Oh, so you're acknowledging their enthusiasm, but you're also, like, redirecting the conversation.
You got it.
Okay.
By asking them to talk about a real situation, you're forcing them to think critically about their needs and how they actually behave.
That's smart.
Another good one is to ask, what have you already tried to solve this problem?
That's really good. Because now you're not just getting a theoretical wish list. You're understanding their process, their pain points, and what hasn't worked for them already.
And that information is pure gold. It helps you to know if your solution really fits their needs. Speaking of finding the right fit, Fitzpatrick talks about how not every conversation will be a home run.
Right.
You'll run into compliments. Those are everywhere.
Yeah.
But you also get what he calls ideas.
Ideas, like people suggesting features or changes to your idea.
Yes. And it's tempting to hear those and run with them.
Oh, for sure.
But Fitzpatrick warns against that. Remember, you're not trying to build some Frankenstein product with every bell and whistle you can imagine.
Right. Okay. So how do you handle those idea conversations?
By digging a little deeper.
Okay.
When someone suggests a new feature, instead of just adding it to your list, ask them, why do you want that? What problem would it solve for you?
Ooh, that's a good one. So you're getting at the why behind the suggestion, not just the suggestion itself.
Exactly. You're looking for the root cause, the underlying need that the idea is trying to address.
Okay.
It helps you prioritize, you know?
Yeah.
Figure out what matters most and avoid building features that no one will use.
That makes sense.
But all of these techniques are only as good as the people you're talking to.
Right. You can ask all the right questions, but if you're talking to the wrong people,
you get the wrong answer.
Yeah. It's garbage in, garbage out.
Exactly. So who should you be talking to? Fitzpatrick introduces this concept of early adopters.
Early adopters.
These are the people who get excited about new ideas, you know?
Okay.
Willing to try things out before they're perfect and are generally much more open to feedback.
So you're, like, ideal first customers.
Yes.
Okay.
They're the ones who will help you shape your product in those early stages. But it's important to remember, early adopters aren't just random enthusiasts.
Oh, okay. So what else should we be looking for?
They need to have a genuine need for what you're building. They should be actively looking for a solution, and ideally, they've already tried other options, and Fitzpatrick stresses this a lot. Make sure they're willing to pay.
Oh, yeah, because that's how you know they're serious about solving the problem.
Right. It's one thing to say, yeah, that sounds cool,
yeah,
but it's another to actually pull out their wallet.
Totally. Now, finding those early adopters, that can be a challenge. But Fitzpatrick has some good tips. All right. I'm all ears. Where do we find these elusive early adopters? All right, I'm all ears. Where do we find these elusive early adopters?
It's easier than you might think.
Okay.
You can start with your existing network, like friends, family,
okay,
colleagues, former classmates, even LinkedIn connections.
Oh, good point.
Think about the people who might genuinely benefit from, you know, from what you're building, or who know other people who might.
Okay, so leverage your network.
Yes.
What if you need to go beyond that?
Well, then Fitzpatrick suggests looking at places like online forums, social media groups,
Ooh.
even customer reviews of competing products.
Ooh, that's good.
Those are like gold mines for finding people who are already, talking about the problems that you're trying to solve.
So you're like eavesdropping on conversations
A little bit,
where
yeah.
people are already expressing their needs and frustrations.
Yeah, you're seeing what's out there, what
Okay.
people are saying.
So how do you approach them?
When you do reach out to these people, keep it casual,
Okay.
personalized, and focused on their needs.
Okay.
You could say something like, hey, I saw your comment on, and fill in blank, a forum or a social media group about struggling with X. I'm working on something that I think might help. Would you be open to a quick chat?
That's great.
Yeah.
That's so much better than just like a generic sales pitch.
Oh, for sure.
You're showing that you're genuinely interested in their problem
Yeah,
and
yeah.
not just trying to sell something.
Exactly.
Okay, so we've had a few conversations. We've gotten some early feedback.
Yeah.
What do we do next?
Well, don't forget to ask for introductions.
Ooh, yes.
Fitzpatrick calls these reputation risk commitments,
Yeah.
and those can open doors to like a whole new network of potential early
It's like
adopters.
that snowball effect.
Exactly.
Okay,
Yeah.
so we're talking to the right people, asking the right questions, and hopefully getting some really valuable insights.
You got it.
What's next?
Well, Fitzpatrick talks about how important it is to get your whole team involved in this process. It
Okay.
shouldn't just be like the business person who's out there talking to customers,
Right.
developers, designers, marketers.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone should be exposed to those like raw, unfiltered customer voices.
That makes a lot of sense. The more everyone on the team understands the customer,
Yeah.
the better the product is going to be.
Exactly. So hold regular team debriefs to discuss, what are you learning? Share those aha moments and be willing to adjust as you go.
So it's all about iteration and flexibility.
It is.
You're not married to that first idea.
Right.
You're using customer feedback as like a compass
Exactly.
to guide you.
To a better solution.
Okay.
Now, as we wrap up our deep dive into the mom test, I want to leave you with one final thought. Beyond, those specific techniques we talked about, the mom test is really about a new mindset,
What do you know?
a mindset of humility, curiosity, and like this relentless pursuit of the truth.
Okay.
It's about recognizing that you don't have all the answers and your customers are your most valuable collaborators.
So instead of trying to convince them that your idea is great, you're trying to understand their world,
Exactly.
their needs, their challenges.
Got it. And when you make that shift, you open yourself up to a world of insights.
That can help you build better products.
Much better, yeah. Fitzpatrick says it best. The truth is more valuable than any compliment, no matter how flattering.
So go out there, have those conversations, and let the mom test be your guide.
Exactly. And pick up a copy of the book if you want to dive even deeper.
It's a great read. All
Yeah.
right, until next time, keep those conversations flowing.
Absolutely.